Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, Dee. Thanks so much for being with us today, this beautiful Monday, busy Monday. We're glad to have you with us. It is the third Monday of the month, and that means we have Chef Z back on with us today. And Chef Z is going to try to help us out in terms of handling this aftermath of the vaccines. And some of us, they got a little waylaid by it. So good morning, Chef Z. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm making it. I'm progressing.
Good. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, I guess combating the aftermath, so to speak. You know, we both got our vaccines and everything, but we both had a little bit of a reaction. And, you know, some people, my husband had no reaction. He got, I think, a different vaccine than I did. And, you know, I went with Pfizer because I was told between the two, from my understanding, between Moderna and Pfizer was going to have less of an issue. But I guess it just depends on, you know, who you are and, you know, what your makeup is. So, but there are other things too. So, Chelsea, help us out here.
Okay, so I'll do like a well-known physician I heard on another radio program this morning says these opinions are my own and they're not to be reflected, blah, blah, blah.
I'm not a medical professional.
Well, you know, I think sometimes we can be our worst enemy and our best champion at the same time when it comes to COVID these days, because we want to have all the information we can get. And we don't want anything, you know, to happen. So we want all of the information we can get. And at the same time, while we're gathering information, we tend to go into information overload. And like you said, you thought one vaccine was better over the other. And I think at first I was even leaning towards the Johnson & Johnson because I'm like, get it done and move on with your life, you know, kind of girl. And then I just said, you know what, right now it looks like if I wanted that, I was going to have to travel because I live outside of Orange County, and that was the only, you know, county that had it, you know, like readily available. And so that it was end up being a deterrent. And then I said to myself, hearing the news, like, great. I'm glad it was a deterrent because of now the vaccine being put on hold. And then my physician came back because I actually went and saw them and said, hey, it would have went either way for you. You know, I have blood clotting issues. So he said it just would have went either way for me. And, you know, I just had too much information. And he just said, get the vaccine. It didn't even matter. I was just like, ugh. You know, like I said, I got too much information. Then I didn't get enough. And then I was busy making my own decisions. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to just get what I can get. And I was lucky enough to get the vaccine right around the corner from my house. So I ended up with Moderna. And honestly, it took me for a loop. And I thought I was, you know, doing all the right thing, taking all the supplements that I was supposed to and trying to get some rest, but I didn't eat well. I think I was so busy being busy that I didn't eat, you know. And so I think that had something to do with what was going on.
Well,
so
I know one of the things I was told, you know, is to make sure you're hydrated. So, you know, which I struggle with drinking enough water anyway, but I thought I was doing okay. You know, I had brought something to drink in my car, and then I grabbed a water bottle on the way out, you know, but didn't drink the water. It was still in my car. The next, you know?
Oh, wow.
It's like, okay, you got to drink the water in order to get hydrated. I did not drink probably enough water. I mean, although I have water home, and I am doing better about drinking water, but that's not my forte, unfortunately, you know, or it has to have something in it.
Yes, and then my husband says, then it's no longer water, it's whatever you put in it, and I'm like, it's a liquid, that's all I
right.
Yeah, but and that's, you know, that's for most people. And I have a cousin, I admire her. She only drinks water. And I always, every time I see her, I just admire her. And then I tease her because I say, I know at home you're drinking something else. You know, and she starts laughing. And she says, yes, smoothies. And I'm like, I knew it. But she knows. And I'm just like, okay, you know.
You got to be careful with them. Too.
Huh?
I said, smoothies are good, too, but, yeah, you got to be careful with them, too.
Yeah, those two. But, you know, I just, and of course, you know, being from someone who says they only drink water, of course, you know, she's making them herself. But like,
yeah.
I said, I just envy her because there's like, there's no tea, no coffee, no, you know, anything like that. And she was like, just water. And of course she looks great. Her skin looks even better. And, you know, it goes back to that's our biggest organ. You know, so of course. But, you know, with this vaccine, like I said, I gave up on trying to be picky and choosy about which vaccine I was going to take. And then I thought, oh, it was a good thing I didn't take the Moderna because I have a blood clotting issue, but it's the opposite. So like I said, we could be our own enemy and our best champion all at the same time, because my doctor was like, that wouldn't have affected you probably in that way because my condition was the opposite of what was actually going on. And so a lot of us are, you know, we're running around going, oh my gosh, you could get blood clots. And yes, but you have to remember what kind they are, that it's rare, blah, blah, blah. But I have to give it to researchers and the doctors that are, you know, that have worked on this vaccine, is that some of them look, there's the scientists are more of a representation of what this country looks like today.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have our hand in a lot of these things, and because we don't want to miss out and we don't want to have our fellow countrymen miss out on misinformation as well. So, you know, I applaud all the people that were involved with the research. So I hope that it still doesn't change anyone's mind or change them towards the fact of getting it, because me getting sick, I got sick from getting my first vaccine shot, which I found out was a good thing. But
mm-hmm.
when you're sick, you don't feel like it's a good thing.
Right.
But, yeah, so the good thing was that I found out when you do get sick is that your body instantly recognizes this is a foreign object, and your immune system kicks into gear to say, hey, we are going to do whatever it takes to get you in the place that you need to be that's healthy. This, you know, danger, foreign object, let's get rid of it. In doing so, your body starts using a lot of its own resources. So you get tapped out. That's why they all said some of the first you know, side effects is you're tired because your body literally goes into overdrive. Yeah. And so when you get tired,
I got real sluggish. You know, there was a couple of things. I got real sluggish. And I was like, you know, and I mean, there's a lot of days. There's some days I feel like that when I'm burning the candle at both ends and I'm like, I'm going to go take a nap. And then I won't do it because, you know, I'm like, no, I got this to do. I got that to do. So this time, though, I did go ahead and lay down in the afternoon, take a nap, which is unusual for me. The next day, I still felt kind of sluggish and weird. So I'm like, okay, so maybe it is a shot. But anyway, I still didn't go take a nap as early. I did lay down. But when my husband came home, he was like, you know, he hugged me. He's like, I think you've got a fever. I'm like, no, I don't. He got the thermometer, and it turns out I had a low grade. Fortunately, that was probably the extent of it. You know, I just said, okay, so now I know I got a fever. This is what I need to do, you know.
So knowing that you had a fever, not to cut you off, but what did you do as far as nutrition when you realized you had a fever?
Oh, probably nothing. well, at that point, it was late, and I had to, you know, I have a little job in the evening, so I had to work. But I did cut my time short so that I could make sure I got a good night's sleep. That was one thing. And then I made sure that I was up on all of my medications and stuff. And then was drinking, of course, started drinking more of the fluids and everything. I think I had some soup and stuff.
Okay.
The next day, though, I felt amazing. I'm like, gee, okay, maybe I should. I always have a fever the day before so I can feel like this the next day. Because I just felt full of energy and everything. So, but I think it was a matter of making sure that I had a good night's sleep. And I think part of it, too, is if your system is run down already, it doesn't take much to make it feel worse.
Exactly. Yes. And it will knock you down further than you thought.
Yep.
You'll be tired from being tired. That's what I called it. So that's when we get sick, you know, like you said, we instantly lay down and we start focusing on getting rest. And like you said, you couldn't even remember what you ate. It wasn't really a priority. And that is one of the things that keeps us, it holds back our progress to healing. You have to have your protein, energy-rich foods and meals to help fuel that. Because your body needs fuel. Food is fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can put cheap gas in or you can get premium. So, you know, you want to make sure when you're down like that, that you stay, like you said, hydrated and that you're giving your body good fuel and you're giving it on a regular basis. I always laugh at myself because when I'm sick, unlike most people, when they're sick, they lose their appetite. When I'm sick, it's like mine kicks into overdrive. And I have to watch it because I want, like, snacks, not really food. I get snackish. And sometimes that's because you lost your taste. If I lose my sense of taste, it's over. I'm going to eat everything because I'm wanting to taste something. I'll just munch. Yeah, because that's me. That's what, you know, I guess that's what I live off of. I taste. And so when I can't, then I definitely want to get that feeling back. Thank God with the vaccine that I didn't lose my taste. I can't afford to gain another pound. But that snackish meat came in. So I have to be really, really sick to not eat. And I've only been that way a couple times in my life. But I know most people, when they're sick, they don't want to eat. And that's when you most definitely should eat. You have to force yourself. And this is a good time to, like, a lot of broth. That's why chicken noodle soup, old-fashioned chicken noodle soup, is so good for you. And it's not the noodles or any, you know, or the carrots help, but it's the broth. the broth, the golden broth, that is gold to your health. That is what's really getting you through. The noodles and the carrots and even the chicken meat that's there are just extras. The real nutrition is in the broth. And so, you know, because there's a lot of protein in there, a lot of vitamins and minerals, and those are the things that your body needs to help get you back on track. If your tummy isn't so busy trying to digest hard-to-digest foods, then your body can focus on other things. So I tell a lot of people to, you know, focus on broth and good soup.
Okay.
And now it used to be, you know, we had to make our own broth, and I've done tutorials. I've done, you know, TV show spots. This is how much broth we're, like, really in when people were making their own broth. You know, I kept myself busy 1 month just going from appearance to appearance about doing broth. And now you can just go in the store and pick up a nice broth that's not even in a can. There are cartons, there are refrigerated sections. So I think it's awesome. And it used to be, you know, like, watch out for the sodium, watch out for this. That's not
they
even
They have low sodium.
And no sodium. So now you don't even have to worry about it anymore. And I'm going to tell you, you know, for those of us who like to bargain shop, broth is, like, to me, like cheese. You get what you pay for. If you don't want, you know, if you're not paying for it, you know, you're not, you know, you're going to get, you know, you're not going to
get
what you're expecting. Yeah, you literally get what you pay for. And so really get the good broth. So,
it's difficult sometimes, though, like if you're not queasy or even if you're still maybe a little bit hungry, it's hard to stick to just broth because you just feel like, okay, I'm not getting enough. There's something missing. You know, it's not sticking.
you feel like it's not enough, like you need to chew or something like that?
That's part of it. I need to chew, or else it just feels like there's something that's floating. If my stomach, let's say, is empty or something, it just feels like something maybe floating on my stomach, and it's just like, okay, where's the rest of it? You know?
Yeah, you want to chew. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you get to feeling like that, then you can do nuts. You can also, people who don't mind, like, you can use raw cashews, and you can actually add them to your broth. You can also add mushrooms. You can add, you know, if you want something like really chewy and, you know, you got to do the mind game, you can use like cremini mushrooms or oyster mushrooms.
Okay.
They have a different flavor and texture, and they give more of a, and not to say you don't want meat, but you want your body to have something easy to digest.
Right.
So while beef has a lot of good protein, you don't want to be dealing with trying to digest a lot of things like that. So you want easy to digest things. You know, if you want to, get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and have it next to your broth. I'm losing my train of thought. Have it next to your broth. You know, eat the peanut butter and the broth to give yourself some bulk. I know. I'm saying, listen, I would probably sip on the broth while I'm eating something. The broth would probably be my drink.
Okay.
So, you know, I have to be honest too, you know. So, yeah, you, but in between just even having broth, just having it during the day, just have something to sip on, you're giving your body that extra push that it needs. You can even do like, if you, like me, sometimes I want something a little sweet, but I'm really not trying to overdo it. I'll have like a little rice pudding or a little tapioca. That will give you some energy that you need. It's going to be temporary, but it's filling, and it keeps you off other things. You can also go with the Greek yogurt. Danon, I call it the black bowl. They have the Greek, it's called One Danon, I believe, and it's their Greek yogurt. And that is a good yogurt. It's like 20-something grams of protein in it. The sugar is relatively low to no sugar in it, and so that's really good. Really good. So you definitely want to have something like that, the yogurt, the broth, the nuts, the rice. Also, you can go with low-calorie cereal bars. You want to check the sugars. It's so hard to – sometimes it's hard to think that you're having a cereal bar or a health food bar, and you think that they're nutritional, and they're usually not because they have a lot of sugar in them. So check the sugar, and you want to make sure the protein is high. I like the Fiber One bars. Any of them, because they're usually about 70 to 100 calories, and they have a lot of fiber, and they're low in sugar. So those are really good to have if you're just trying to get a snack and you're really not trying to eat. And, you know, gives you a nice balance. Having smaller portions are going to be good, too. You don't want to get full. You just want to nibble. You know, in our, like I said, our best champion and our worst enemy, we go, okay, we have to eat down, and we get really full, and we get full because we can't taste our food, so we're just eating, and then we overindulge, you know, so then it's worse. So, you know, you really, really want to make sure.
Yeah.
That you are paying attention to what you're eating and how much you're eating. I found like a little list. I was trying to find my list while I was talking, but I found it, of some meals and snacks that you can eat that can help you along the way. So hard cheeses. So like, yeah, cheddar cheese is fine, but the sharp, extra sharp cheese, the harder the cheese, the better it is. The hard block cheese, it has better protein content in it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good. Skim milk powder or whole milk or milky drinks. If you are someone who is, you can tolerate the lactose. If not, you can get the lactose-free milk. I've started trying this milk called Promised Land Milk.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've seen it. I think I've had the chocolate version before.
Yeah, I tried the strawberry because I hadn't had strawberry since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things. I was like, I'm gonna do it. Suffer the consequences later. And because I am not lactose tolerant. And I didn't have a problem.
Oh, well,
so
good.
I thought, yeah. And so, and then I looked at the way a lot of the conventional and the lactose free milks are processed, and the cows have a lot to do with it. So Promised Land was one of those that tend to be, you know, better for people with that issue. And so I liked it. It's Promised Land. You know, they have chocolate or strawberry. So
right.
I can add that to my thing. And so that is something good to drink when you're not feeling well. So if you don't like whole white milk, which is good for you, or something like strawberry, eat jams. Isn't that something? Natural sugar is good for you. So you can eat, like, don't eat jellies because that's from fruit juice, but eat jams, which are made from the juice. So that can help you out a lot. Honey.
Yeah. Know about honey.
Honey is really good. Yes. And honey and green tea together,
mm-hmm.
I had gotten
mm-hmm.
on a kick. I think I went through a whole box of green tea. My drink of choice was green tea with honey and lemon or orange. And so there's a lot of good oranges out right now. There's blood oranges are around. And so and then my son has started his own lemonade business. And we had some pink lemons flown in from California. So those are delicious. So I drink that. So, you know, the citrus and the vitamin C is good for you, and it's going to help you move right along with that. Ground almonds or nut butters, just about any nut that you make butter from, you know, like sunflower, peanut butter, cashew,
mm-hmm.
butter, all of those are good. They have the protein in it, and they're easily digestible. Those things are going to make you feel fuller faster, and they're going to stick with you longer. I always say, especially, you know, when we had these kids home from school and they had the weekend stomach on Monday, just sit them down and make them eat a peanut butter, not and jelly, but straight peanut butter on wheat bread, and I promise you, those kids won't know what hit them. They will be full. They will make it to the next meal. You know, these kids, they were eating, and then 10 minutes later, they were back in the kitchen, and they were back. It's the protein. They're missing it, and they're having a lot of empty calories. You know, I saw a mom inside of Walmart, and she was, you know, talking to someone, and she was saying how she was loading up on snacks because the kids were home. And I looked at her buggy, and I was, like, secretly judging her. And I'm like, and woman, you will be back in a couple days, because she had baby cakes, you know, the fruit snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was empty. They're empty calories, and kids are affected more by that than adults. And that's why they were back in the kitchen. They're back, you know, and they're eating chips and all of that because they're using it up so fast. They're running around and fidgeting, so they're back for more fuel. So peanut
mm.
butters, nut butters, sunflower butters, those will last. Even though I said cereal bars, guess what
mm-hmm.
else is really good? Pancakes. Good old-fashioned pancakes.
All right.
Are really good. I know, and it sounds like carb loading, but you can do pancakes that are high in protein and
mm-hmm.
high in potassium. So to your pancake mix, add a couple of eggs, or add an egg and a banana,
mm-hmm.
or add peanut butter to your pancakes. So and I'm telling you, you will have the best nap ever after these.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna
okay,
put you
that's
down.
Probably why I shouldn't have that in the morning then, okay.
Yes, they'll put you down, but they'll put you down in a good way. They'll put you down in a good way
because
you're going to have that protein.
As I tell you, what I like is not necessarily the pancakes so much as the waffles. And
yeah.
I was at the cafe once that they had the waffles, and they used to put the crunchy peanut butter on top of the nice, warm, crunchy peanut butter on top of the waffles and stuff like that. It is some good stuff right there.
Yes, I know. It's so good. Or I just like waffles with sliced bananas on top. And then, honey, and all those things are working in conjunction to help help fuel your body. So that's, you know, what we should be thinking about is fuel. And so staying away from the junk food, staying hydrated, and give your body a lot of high-energy protein is what's going to help us get back. And, you know, being sick after our vaccination is actually a good thing. So I hate that I had to experience it, but I'm glad that it was something that was mild. I'd rather have those symptoms than full out, you know, what everybody else was going through.
Exactly.
So, yes. Yes.
Well, Chef Z, I'm glad that you were able to join us. I'm glad that you're on the mend. Just, you know, keep going. You know, don't tax yourself too much, but just glad that you were able to join us and give us those tips. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And I will be posting information from Chef Z on the G's Power Hour Facebook. When we come back, my friend Stephanie is back with us. She's going to chat with us a little bit. So make sure you join us. The number there is 516-387-1944 if you want to join the conversation. By the way, closing arguments began in the Derek Chauvin trial today. We will have Civil Rights Attorney Kevin Anderson back on with us tomorrow to kind of wrap things up about, you know, and give us some insight into the arguments. So don't miss that. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes, and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we want to thank Chef Z again for joining us on this third Thursday. And we are welcoming back Stephanie Dukes. Stephanie, good morning. Good afternoon, rather. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Lady G. Thank you for having me here today. And I love Chef Z. I had the pleasure of attending one of her seminars at the Lake Sumter, at the Cooper Memorial Library on the campus of the Lake Sumter Community College. And she inspired me actually to start thinking about doing my own garden. So,
oh, good.
Yes. So I love her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. She's great. How are you, ma'am? It's been a while. We actually hadn't talked for a while. Got a chance to chat a little bit this morning. But how are you? What's going on with you?
I'm doing great. Yes, busy as a bee. We're doing great. Looking at taking a breath. We had a very nice, successful, by our standards, successful campaign running for House District, Florida House District 32. And we did very well. We did 44%. But the most important thing is every day our campaign looked for our measure of success with how we could help anyone that day with what they believe was their cause for the world that they live in to be better. That's kind of like what's going on with the George Floyd thing. You know, all Black Lives Matter. Everyone is affected by this.
Yeah.
So community in these closing arguments this morning talked a lot about that. The common theme that went through was no better, but he didn't do better. You know, that's so much standard in our community. And it really kind of says why I, you know, chose to be a part of the solution for our communities, because we know better. When we know better, we should do better.
Exactly.
And in this case, you know, he definitely knew better. They've shown he had the proper training throughout this course. They've shown he, you know, even had follow-up training. So he knew better. He just made a conscious decision, as the prosecution has stated over and over again, that he just made the decision not to do better.
Yeah. And, I mean, it is just interesting to me how, I mean, the defense has to do its job, okay? I mean, you know, everybody's supposed to get a strong defense. But it's interesting to me how all roads still point to the fact that Derek Chauvin was the pivotal factor in terms of how this man died. Whether you introduced drugs, whether you introduced carbon monoxide, whether you introduced, you know, heart issues, whatever the case may be. Okay, let's just take, for instance, carbon monoxide, inhaling carbon monoxide. Would he have been on the ground inhaling carbon monoxide if it had not been for Derek Chauvin?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
You know, even if he had drugs in his system, would he just carrying on his day-to-day life had succumbed to death if Derek Chauvin had not, you know, caused him issues? You know, pinning him to the ground, not allowing him to breathe properly. No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, no matter what the defense is, you know, no matter what issues they used, all roads lead to Derek Chauvin, in my opinion.
And you're absolutely right. It led to him not being what the force he's used was not reasonable. It was not proportionable. It was excessive. He violated his own policies. He violated the law, you know, and it was him. They wanted to talk about that, you know, he was not compliant. So we needed this extra strong measurement. What was he compliant? Every command they gave him, he followed. You know,
this is something I thought about this morning as I realized, you know, what was going to happen today. And I thought about, you know, I hear some people saying, well, you know, you have to respect authority. You know, if you don't respect authority, then, you know, I guess get what you get. But this is my thinking. I think it's a matter of not necessarily respecting authority. It's a matter of respecting each other. It's a matter of respecting people. So this is my issue is if you are a white police officer, a white sheriff's deputy, any white person in law enforcement that is encountering an African-American person, the one thing that you have to realize, no matter what your position of authority, the one thing that you have to realize is based on the history in our country, in where we live, you are going to have black people, whether they've had a one-on-one encounter with a law enforcement officer or not, you are going to have black people that are automatically going to have, because even if it's not direct one-on-one contact, it's based on the stories that have gone through the family, friends, community. There are stories, you know, of good and bad, but unfortunately, mostly unfavorable. And so mm-hmm. when you, as a white law enforcement person, encounter a person in the black community, you're already facing prejudices, and it's unfortunate. You can't go and encounter a black person with the same mindset that you encounter a white person or anybody else. You know, you have to know that those issues are there. And so you have to come in with a different mindset in terms of how, and it can't be automatically aggressive and forceful. Cautious, yes, but not automatically aggressive and forceful. You have to respect that African-American person and the baggage that they come with, because mm-hmm. it's going to affect how this encounter goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember stories that my mom told and my dad told me, and you know my father, you knew my father. My father was not an intimidating person. Sorry, mm-hmm. he just really wasn't. You know, he was a kind, sweet guy, very, you know, playful, jovial, and wouldn't hurt a fly. But the thing about it is he mm-hmm. was just trying to get to his neighborhood.
Yes.
You know, he stopped before, never been arrested, and never been arrested. And mm-hmm. when he would get stopped and the police would ask him and would check his record, like, they were surprised that he, as a black man, had never been arrested.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Okay. So, you know, that's the other part of it, is with the mindset that, you know, a white law enforcement officer comes in with. Are you coming in prejudging the African-American person that you're about to encounter?
Mm-hmm.
You have to do a lot of quick on-the-spot thinking in terms of how you're going to handle this encounter on all sides.
Exactly. You know, that was a point that the prosecution made this morning, that part of his training was to be able to do that type of thinking, critical thinking on the spot, to evaluate the situation, even if it was a person on drugs. And when you talked about the respect element, well, you should respect the authority, he showed every motion to respect authority when he was saying, yes, sir. When they asked him to do something or told him to do something, he did that up until the point where he became advised them that he was claustrophobic, mm-hmm. that he gave them information to do that critical thinking processes with. And they knew better. He just chose to do better. And when we talk about authority, respect authority, he respected the authority, but the person in the position of authority took his authority to a next level, himself mightier than the law, mightier
right.
than the training he had received. So his perspective of authority was out of proportion.
Yeah.
You know, it became bigger than him, and because when people advise him, his own peers say, you know, maybe should we turn him over? No, just keep this position. Instead of listening, he felt so much of the authority there that he failed to listen to his peers, to his coworkers, to take what they were saying under advisement and do some critical thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right on that perspective. And we cannot prejudge. We come to, and we all have our biases when we come into a situation. But that's
mm-hmm.
why there is consistent training, because you have to get that out of your mind in your professional position. And when you go to your job and when you walk around daily, you cannot prejudge people. You have to actually assess the situation, what is factual, and then keep yourself as well as the person they're apprehending safe. You and the person should, like one of the bystanders said, at the end of the day, you and the person who you have there, your suspect, want to go home to their family at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's community policing. You know, the big term about community policing is not to make the community afraid of you, but to have community. We work together. We work in harmony. And it comes with that thing of respect. Respect. I'm going to respect you because you're here to protect and serve.
Mm-hmm.
Protect and serve. Not for me to have to bow down to you and think you are bigger and mightier than me. You know, that reminds me of the Training Day, you know, Denzel Washington and Training Day.
Yeah.
Where the big scene at the end, you know, where he starts talking, you know, you think you're better than that, that he had become to think that he was the law and above what was written in standard because of the way he treated people, that he controlled everything. He controlled them. So a lot of that reminded me of that Training Day. It's like, you don't do like I say, then there's going to be hell to pay, you know?
I can't even watch that movie anymore. I just cannot. Reggie laughs at me. He's like, I'm like, no, I just can't. It's like I kept expecting him at the end to have some sort of redeeming qualities, you know, and he didn't, and it just messed with me. I'm like, no, I can never watch this movie again. But I understand exactly what you're saying. But anyway,
That's
take
what
a
happens
quick
when
break.
You think we are better than anyone else. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Let's take a quick break. I'm here with my friend Stephanie Dukes. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, comments, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin, you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And right now we're talking with my friend Stephanie Dukes here. Stephanie, you know, one of the things that has been on my mind today, not with just the Derek Chauvin trial, but with the killing of the other young man in Minneapolis and other things that are going on. We talk about the impact on our young black men and, having to always be on guard and everything, but it's not just that. I've been thinking a lot about the women that are involved. The mothers, the spouses, the girlfriends, the sisters, you know, and you know, teachers, you know, people that are associated with these young black men and things that happen to them, and how, you know, because, and the reason I was thinking about that today was because, you know, we are very, very nurturing, and, you know, when something you know, when one of those lives gets taken away, there's a huge void in terms of, you know, for those, I guess, that are more, I would say, money-oriented or driven or whatever, it's like losing an investment.
Yeah.
You know, but in a different way. You know, it's a matter of heart and soul and expectations being poured into a young black man, and then you have that the loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I have to put it like that. And so I keep wondering, because I'm sure there's are young women out there that haven't had children that young black women who haven't had children that are thinking, I don't know if I want to bring another young black man into a world that does not value him, that does not respect him, that does not love and appreciate him the way that, you know, he should be done so.
Mm.
And,
that's deep.
You know, it's got to be scary. You know,
if
you're a woman that has a young son, and that's your only son, because in some cases these are people that have lost their only,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if they lost their oldest, and the ramifications in terms of what happens to, let's say, the next oldest son, you know, I'm sure the guards are up, you know, it's like because of this that happened to, let's say, my older brother, I can't live my life in the way that I had expected to, because there's always going to be watchful eyes on me trying to either protect me or either expect me to do something differently than I normally would.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Stephanie. Go ahead, please.
No. That I found that so deep, that one, as a woman, any woman who should have that thought, that I let that be a reasoning for deciding, do I enjoy what my spouse or my mate and I were created to, a gift that was given us to create life, that is an example of our love, that is our way of contributing to society. As you called it, this is the, and he, my child is an investment to society, to continue our legacy. That's why we pour money into their education. That's why we make sure they have experiences that prepare them for life. And we have to prepare them for the experience of the encounter with, unfortunately, that bad element, that small percentage, but that deadly percentage of the police community, as well as the violent groups that are out there that want to take it into their hands. That's all the more reasons, Gretchen, for the legislative arm, because there should be strong legislation, laws, to hold people accountable, so that no woman, no man should feel that they should take that in consideration, how my child will be treated or whether or not I should have a child. No, you decide to have a child because of the love between you and your mate, your spouse, your significant other, you know. That is such a gift. It's a gift
mm-hmm.
to society. And, you know, that's a good point that you touched on, investment. And I believe that's why we have such devastation, or we are targeted, because they want to reduce our resources for that investment. They want us to be in that position that we think, oh, I'm not going to have a child, because they want to keep our population down in the,
mm-hmm.
in the race. You know, there are people who think like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy thinking, but we all know from the professionals who have studied that they feel a threat. People who do this, when I say they, let me define who they are. It's not everyone. It is that segment of society who fearful, who do not have enough gumption to say, you know what, I'm just as good as anyone else. I'm going to prepare myself and my children to get out here and be competitive against the world, which is any and every. Not feel that you have to reduce a population or you have to then turn around and, okay, well, let's stack everything against them, charge them. Like you said, your father, they realized, oh, you have never been stopped, because that became the agenda. If I stop him and arrest him, he can't get into certain schools. They can't get into have certain jobs. This keeps the investment in that community at a very, very low premium, a low return. And you know what? We don't want that. So that is a very, very key point you made, investment, our investment in our community.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is. You know, that's why we insist that our children go to school. That's why we insist that they make the best grades possible. That's why we insist that they, you know, attend church, you know, build character. You know, at least we used to. My parents did. You know, my mom, you know, as long as you live in this house, you are going to school. You are going to church. Now, when you get of adult age, you can do what you want, you know, but you're living under this roof, and these are the things that you are going to do. And it bothers me. I was listening to some, and it actually was Christian radio, believe it or not, and I was listening to it the other day, and they were talking about, you know, choices for that our teenagers and that, you know, we should allow them to have more of a say and stuff like that. And as a teenager, I was probably agreed. But my thing is, as an adult now, looking back, it's like, no. I mean, you know, there may be some discussion and everything, and if you bring a valid argument, you know, that you researched and everything else, that's fine. But the thing about it is, don't, you know, just because you feel like it does not make a good decision, you have to you as a teenager, as a child, do not come with informed decision-making, informed choices, okay?
That's right.
So you can't have the final say in terms of what goes on with your life as a child. No, you can't. The decision has, and as long as I'm responsible for you, no, you're not going to go make some decision that I'm ultimately going to have to pay for.
That's right.
No.
And you set them up for failure, and that's not fair.
Right.
That's not fair to the child who is going, that's why they're called a child and move to a teenager and then move to the category of an adult. And we know even in the category of adult, you know, you go from that young adult to that middle-aged adult to that wisdom of elder. And because of life experiences, because we have been taught, told, listened, and then we know how to respond. But you can't let anyone make a decision until you have been given all the right tools, education, experience, and responsibility. Responsibility. You know, and a lot of times, there are parents that don't even give kids the responsibility now of taking out the trash.
They don't
understand that is a different.
That's another discussion for another day. Jeff, I got to go. I'm sorry. Thank you so much. Glad to have you again.
Yes, thank you, and look forward to coming, returning again.
All right. We'll do that soon. And thank you all for listening. Tomorrow, civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Networks. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care. Thank you.
He'll make it all right. God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.